You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. Thank you for joining us this afternoon here at Radio Maria. I'd like to begin with an actual scripture it is a scripture, a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. The prayer of Azariah in the furnace, the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and I'm looking at verse 52. Blessed are you, O Lord, God of our ancestors, and to be praised and highly exalted forever. And blessed is your glorious holy name, and to be highly praised and highly exalted forever. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, and to be extolled and highly glorified forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne on the cherubim, to be praised and highly exalted forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, to be extolled and highly exalted forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, and to be sung and glorified forever. Blessed the Lord, bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you waters above the heavens. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you powers of the Lord. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, sun and moon, sing praise to him and highly exalt him forever. And it goes on, but it is, brothers and sisters, a beautiful prayer that is when you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were in the furnace, and together they said with one voice, praised and glorified the blessed God in the furnace. Okay, and of course, when they came out, right? Right in here. I just want to read some of the. So they had come out, and not the hair. Here it goes, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. So, brothers and sisters, the reason for that is, as we continue to go through this pandemic, and it's not enough that we've gone through a pandemic, but a battered economy, and soaring unemployment. We have social unrest and racial strife. When it hit, it really hurt. America was already exhausted by the thousands of deaths from COVID-19. But record unemployment and economic catastrophe in reaction to it. And then came the highly horrible profile killing of an African-American man by a police officer in Minneapolis, fixing the year, mid-year capstone of a year gone terribly bad. In the days and weeks following, multiple thousands took to the streets in protest of the death of George Floyd. May God bless his soul. Who quickly became an icon of terrible injustice. Rage and riots engulfed many U.S. cities, including Canada and around the world. As time passed, three questions dominated. Why did this happen? What can be done? How can we achieve peace and heal the land? To God, who doesn't show favoritism, skin color and ethnic background are not what people are measured by. All have access to Him through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we refer to this current age, the Bible speaks of the injustice of people in human governments. It reminds us of what the prophet Amos declared. You twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the oppressed. While injustice is rampant in this world, it is also evident that violence usually achieves nothing in terms of solutions for society and most often makes things worse. Many countries struggle today with finding solutions for economic and social equality. Consider this. America itself has been a long time a beacon of political freedom to much of the world, allowed almost a full century to lapse from the time of the 13th, 14th, and 15th U.S. Congressional amendments were passed, guaranteeing what the Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. To the later time, when President John Kennedy called for strong laws guaranteeing equal treatment of every American regardless of race, finally passed into the law the summer after Kennedy's assassination and known as the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Despite these good intentions of many human governments have fallen short. There is a better way. Going forward, let us consider the words of civil rights leader Martin Luther King. In 1966, Dr. King remarked, "I am concerned about a better world. I'm concerned about justice. And when one is concerned about that, he can never advocate violence. For through violence, you may murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that." The answer, according to Dr. King, love is ultimately the only answer to humankind's problems. I and you have seen way too much hate. If we are seeking the highest good, we have to think we can find it through love. Speaking of the words of the Apostle John, in 1 John 4, Dr. King noted John was right. God is love. He who hates does not know God, but he who loves has the key that unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality. We know and teach from the Bible that God Himself is love. God defines and manifests this incomparable quality. And Paul urges us to be imitators of God and to live a life of love. There is no room for racism here. God created the incredible human potential of life eternal, of becoming God's very children. His great purpose marvelously focuses on bringing many sons to glory. This includes men and women of all walks of life, being brought together now as well in the coming future kingdom of God. Thankfully, we have a solid pathway that can lead us to the answers to these questions. A remarkable teacher sent from God Himself laid out the way. Speaking before thousands of people, Jesus Christ made an important distinction for those who would desire peace. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Note that Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers or those who simply wish for peace. Jesus said that blessings will come to those who pursue peace and live peace. For this, we need a standard. We need a clear benchmark to help us determine and measure whether we're on the path of pursuing peace. This standard must be written on our hearts, brothers and sisters, driving our hearts and actions. Indeed, we have such a standard. Accordingly, if we want to be peacemakers, we must understand that peace begins by having peace with God. When we have peace with God, we can have peace with others. The statement from Paul, Christ himself has brought peace to us. Our hostility toward each other was put to death in Ephesians 2. To be a peacemaker, we have to embrace a standard of performance. We have to love both God and our neighbor. But first, we must recognize that we all fall short of that standard and need to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We recognize that we have rejected God and his word, living cut off from him. And we need to turn and surrender our lives to him. When we do that, we come under grace. We receive a new heart that's oriented toward God. We begin to build and reflect and experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. This world desperately needs God's truth. Tragically for many, the way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 59. At first, you may not see a way, and it may seem futile to you. Can one person choose a path of peace and really make a difference? The answer is yes. One person can be an example to many. Each of us needs to reorder our lives. Put the right things first. Make right decisions, and then trust God to deliver. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God? What will be your choice? There is a better way. Reject the injustices and violence of this world. Make peace with God through Jesus Christ. And live a life of love for all people. That, brothers and sisters, I want us to think about that today. We have to think differently. God is using this massive time, this massive disruption, do you think, to gain our attention? What is God telling us? We can't help but wonder. What we've gone through is on the same level a message from God. And if so, what is he telling us? Throughout time, God has spoken to people through prophets, visions, angels, and other messengers. And he has also spoken to mankind through the events we go through. A time of calamity wakes us up to reality and motivates us to think more clearly. Jesus Christ made use of certain crises of his time to draw a lesson about the unexpected. In Luke chapter 13, he referred to two contemporary tragedies to make an important point. The first one concerned worshipers from Galilee massacred at the Jerusalem temple on the orders of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. The other event was a building collapse that killed a number of people. Notice the account in Luke chapter 13, first few verses. And about this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all other people in Galilee? Jesus asked, is that why they suffered? Not at all. and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God, he said. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again, unless you repent, you will perish too. It's a sobering lesson when an epidemic has unexpectedly cut short the lives of hundreds of thousands of people and millions out of work, with society reeling. One of the chief themes of the Bible is repentance. Jesus Christ's ministry began with, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, which means change your thinking, think differently, and believe in the gospel. Repentance, thinking, acting, and living differently became the primary message of the early church. And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. This message has continued, repent. The New Testament word for the act of repenting, metanoō. I can't even pronounce it properly. Metanoeo. Which means really turn back, go back. It occurs more than 1,000 times in the Old Testament. The plea from God to man throughout the Bible is to turn to him and to turn away from evil. When you understand that God is calling out to man to think and act and live differently, you will understand one of the great purposes of life. You will come to see why our world is filled with suffering and sorrow. The story of the Bible is a chronicle of man's corrupt thinking and its consequences, and God's message to change our thinking and be freed from this enslaving grip of evil. In the Garden of Eden, our first human parents were given a choice between the fruit of two different trees. Taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would bring death. Tempted by the evil serpent, Adam and Eve disobeyed their creator and were subsequently barred from the tree of life. We have all followed in the same error and penalty. Therefore, just as one man sinned, as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5. For the next 1600 years, man's pattern of thinking became worse and worse. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This pattern of thought so corrupted in mankind that God decided to restart civilization with Noah. Noah had a mindset of thinking differently from the rest of society, and he found grace in the eyes of God. God used Noah to repopulate the earth through his descendants after a catastrophic worldwide flood. About 400 years later, God started working through a man named Abraham and proceeded to his son Isaac, and then to his son Jacob and the sons he fathered. Jacob was renamed Israel, and his sons became the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. This fledgling nation migrated to Egypt, and after several generations found itself enslaved there. God delivered the Israelites under the leadership of Moses. God then made a covenant with them involving their obedience to the law. He gave to them the Ten Commandments, a guide for proper moral thinking. Brothers and sisters, It's really important that we sit and think about what's going on in the world. It starts with one heart at a time, but looking through the eyes of God at each other, because you are no better and you are no closer to God than your friend next to you, your neighbor, whoever they may be, whatever they may be. We are all equal in the eyes of God. God, this is God that we're talking about. This world that we're living, this is the evil one. This is the evil one running rampant, enjoying every moment of hatred that is spread, feeds on it. We must stop that. We must recognize that, that is the evilness, and we can't buy into that. We have to start focusing our eyes on the Lord. There are repeated calls for repentance. Through the prophets, God reached out to all nations, pleading for them to turn and choose a different way of thinking. As I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Brothers and sisters, I've mentioned it many times. We are living in the world, in the age of grace. This is an age. Before Jesus returns, this is an age of grace, an age of mercy. Now we can come to him. Now we can ask for forgiveness. When Jesus returns, it is too late for all of us to repent, especially if you know the word of God, if you know him, you've heard of him, you know of him, and you've turned away. There is no second chances then. Now is our time. Now is our time to repent and to come to him with a very humble heart. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that your iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? Therefore turn and live. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. The Israelites as a whole never understood what God commanded them to do for their own good. They never seen a sustained period of obedience. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, and they had feared other gods and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before them. God's call to repent and to turn to him remains. It continues throughout the entire Bible, and it still goes out today, everyone. It is a command, not just to Israel, but to all mankind. When the Apostle Paul preached in Athens, he concluded with these powerful words, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained." You can change your thinking and change your life by submitting to God and receiving his forgiveness. By doing so, you embark on a life, amazing life, brothers and sisters, fulfilled, entering a relationship that will prepare you and protect you in facing whatever is yet before us. God's desire for all of us is expressed so well by the Apostle Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God is still calling us to repent. He is giving us that opportunity right now. Let's make good use of it. Let's think differently. Let's turn our life around and believe that the good news that Jesus preached is for all of us today. Brothers and sisters, as always, it's a pleasure being with you. I sincerely hope that you have enjoyed these broadcasts that we bring to you from Radio Maria. It's just such a privilege for myself personally, and I thank you so much. But brothers and sisters, we have to stop this is, we don't know the big picture. Did God ordain this pandemic? Did God do this? Whoever, whatever, we are in it. And we need to seriously look at ourselves within our hearts. Every single person on this earth was created by God. God knew all of us before we were born. He knows us. And he loves us. And he knows and he says we are perfect in his eyes. Whether you want to judge someone and say they're you're more than him and you're better than him, you're this, you know, you have to stop. Stop with the self-centeredness and start looking at others through God's eyes, through our Blessed Mother. Please, brothers and sisters, we are one family, a family of children of God. How are we going to think about the Israelites, how they all followed Moses through Egypt? And, you know, I mean, 40 years. Are we a race that can do that today? Can we follow God today? Forget 40 years. Do you think we can do it for a year, a month, a week? If everyone turned to God and repented, where no one here on this earth is perfect. Some may have more than others, but brothers and sisters, not one of us is unscathed by trials and challenges in our life. No one. Just look around at all the celebrities who've lost wives and husbands and children, and drownings and everything. Brothers and sisters, we know nothing is by accident. We know that everything is ordained by God. Let's have faith in God. Let's love each other and accept one another. We all bleed the same blood, brothers and sisters. We all cry the same tears. We are one. Let's be one. Let's take care of one another, starting with yourself. Take care of yourself and come to the cross. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I love you all. And I pray that our whole planet heals through the mercy of God and through all the angels and all the saints. May God bless this planet Earth and bless the people that are walking on this earth. And those who have gone to their rest, may they rise up and see the face of Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening. It's a pleasure. Bye for now.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no.